Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Family of Faith, a Faith Bible Church podcast about God's design for the family, with your host and pastor of Family Ministries, Paul Funchess.
Hey, this is Family of Faith Today, a podcast by Faith Bible for Faith Bible. And I'm Paul Funchess. I'm here with Seth Weber.
Hello.
Seth, good to see you today. Dave Gim is with us on the podcast today. And actually, that's not actually true.
No, he's not.
We recorded him. We recorded him at our Family Ministries little mini retreat we had here at the church. And we had him answer a question that has actually been in our, it's been in our queue. We've had it queued up for a few months, really. Yeah. One of the moms here at Faith Bible Church sent in a question about teaching on dinosaurs. She sent in this question, basically said, you know, I my son loves dinosaurs. He loves reading about dinosaurs. But in everything that we read together and all the resources, they all basically have an evolutionary worldview, an evolutionary starting point. And so she was asking, you know, how do I navigate that? We decided to put that one up for Dave Gammon. Dave Gammon, as many of you know, is a science teacher, middle school science teacher, and he's a Renaissance man is what he is. He really is a bona fide Renaissance man. He knows everything, a little bit about everything.
Yeah.
And I love Dave Gammon. He's a, in all sincerity, he's a dear friend and has been a huge encouragement to many, many families here at Faith Bible Church. He is part of the Family Ministries team. And so we decided to ask him the question, and today we are letting him answer that question. I think he gives some good basic approaches to any types of those questions, not just addressing dinosaurs, but addressing that whole evolutionary idea that will be in your public schools. If you send your kid to public school, they're going to be hit with it. If you're reading any kind of stuff you're getting from the library, there's a good chance there's going to be an evolutionary worldview. So how do you interact with your kids about this? How do you talk to your kids about this, especially as they're getting old enough to think through these things? So Dave Gammon does a great job of answering that. So here he is. This came in a couple months ago. Okay. And then we asked her to send it in again because we hadn't answered it yet for the podcast. She sent it in for the podcast and we said, I'm not going to answer that question. So we're gonna leave that for Dave Gammon. So I have a five-year-old son who is obsessed with dinosaurs. Although a great interest to have, it has brought to light the issue of the theory of evolution. All dinosaur books and documentaries are fraught with constant statements regarding the process of evolution in all aspects of nature. One book even went so far as to say humans were evolved from prehistoric mammals that predate dinosaurs. How do I explain to him how dinosaurs fit into the story of the creation from the Bible? There are many ideas online, but I want to make sure I'm teaching him the biblical truth regarding the subject. So Dave Gammon, there's the question if you actually need to see that. Yeah, I know. That's why I asked you. Yeah.
So I go to Romans 1:20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. You know, as we approach this, and as I approach this in 23 years of public education, I think number one, we don't need to run scared. We don't need to run scared. When we're reading books to our kids that have fallacies or things we don't agree with, whether it's in the Hardy Boys or whether it's in a dinosaur book or whether it's in Harry Potter or whatever, I think what we have to do as shepherds in our home is frame everything biblically. Well, they said this. Would we agree with that? Is that biblical? And then have the conversation with your kids. Is that biblical? Well, no, the Bible says this. And then a fundamental understanding of the Bible as supernatural. We look around this world, and I don't get into creation evolution debates anymore because it's got so much baggage to it. The conversation I have is the natural and the supernatural. We live in a natural world. And as a scientist, we are trapped inside that natural box that says everything within this box has to be explained by other things in the box. And yet everything in the natural box points to supernatural, whether it's photosynthesis or cell respiration or cellular dynamics, everything. You guys, everything, right down to the DNA programming, everything points to supernatural design and organization. And so we come back and say, these are books from a natural world with natural thinking that is sinful. And the creation groans under the weight of sin. Isn't it great that we have God's word that is supernatural and that can frame all of our thinking? And so rather than shying away from those, celebrate the dinosaurs. God made them. He genetically knit them. Celebrate them. But when you look at timescales, and this is the key, when you look at timescales, say, okay, well, why do you think they're saying millions of years? Because evolution, Darwinian evolution, is all about explaining all of this minus divine intervention. If there was no God, how long would it take? You guys, this is how awesome God is. Without God, they've got to go to millions and billions of years, and then they still don't make a compelling case. You know, with time, the impossible becomes possible. Nope. Sorry, still impossible. But you, I notice in my textbooks, the time spans keep going up and up and up, because as we see the genetic variation and complexity of amino acids and proteins and genes being switched on and off, we realize, oh my gosh, this thing's deeper than we ever thought. We better add more time. You know? And it gives, and it's a great conversation to have with your kids to say, look at his power. Look at God's power. He could do this outside of time. And then I would take them, can I just keep going? Yeah. It's like class, this is great. So then I take them to a passage like where he turned the water into wine. And I say, wait a second, you guys, look at this. He turned water into wine. Well, what's water? H2O, Dad. H2O. So you got the bent configuration of water and the semipolar nature of it. That's changing into wine. You've got resveratrol. You've got these complex carbon molecules. And listen, that wine came from a grape that never photosynthesized, came from a plant that never knew the light of the sun, and it fermented. Don't you realize Jesus made wine that tasted like the best wine, like it had been aged? He transcended photosynthesis and fermentation and brought it to the exact moment where he knew the wine would taste best, which isn't that interesting, because he also knows the chemical nature of the taste buds on the tongue going up to the parietal lobe to sense the very best chemicals in that wine and go, this is the best. Why? Because it was about his glory. See, this is where you talk about that morphe. In essence, he never lost his essence. He recreated the ear on Malchus. With the blind man, he not only created the optic nerve and the cornea and the retina and the lens, he created the neurological structure in the occipital lobe to understand images that he shouldn't have been able to understand because he didn't have an encyclopedia of images in his brain since he was little. He understood images he never should have been able to understand because these were all new light images that have never been cataloged. He cataloged his neurological memory. Whoa. Right? Geeking out. So if he has that kind of power, then you start at Genesis 1:1, you go all the way through Revelation, and you go, it's crazy but true all the way through. And if you're going to accept that he made fish that never swam and bread that never grew on the stalk, and he made all these things and all these miracles and demonstrated autonomy over the human body and systems and cellular dynamics, he can do whatever he wants. Don't we serve an awesome God? Isn't it funny how these books have to try and explain it with lots of time because they got nothing. They got nothing. And son, daughter, we have everything in Christ because he's supernatural and he is with us. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. Isn't that awesome? I love that conversation. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Dave. That was exactly... No, stay there. Stay there. It was really helpful to me when I came to the realization this was without, because I don't have a scientific brain. When you start talking about occipital, whatever, I don't know what you're talking about.
to try to explain the existence of material universe from within material universe, you can't do that. How does material universe exist? You can't explain the existence of material universe from inside material universe. Something outside of material universe has to be responsible for its existence. And so that leads you, that's what he was talking about with natural versus supernatural. Something outside, whatever it is, something outside of material universe has to be responsible for its existence. But
paintings don't paint themselves.
Paintings don't paint themselves. See, that's good. That's good. Now, I was going to ask you a question. What about some of these creation ministries? Seriously. Okay. So Answers in Genesis is a big one. Tell us a little bit about that. You know, their resources. Yeah.
I've lived this. I want to say this really well. I love creation ministries that hold to the word. Here's the problem. You can't live in both worlds and argue both equally. So if you walk into a debate and you say, the word of God is supernatural, I hold this to be true, and they say, we hold to evolution as true, you're coming from two completely different paradigms. And when you argue each other, it is complete discord, because this guy thinks that guy's an idiot, that guy thinks this guy's an idiot, and you don't make progress. That's why I think progress is made when we don't teach our kids to fear, but learn everything you can, and then take it under the frame of the word, think biblically, and then ask great questions. So my kids are probably annoying teachers all the time because they're asking questions. Well, then how do you explain life? Well, there were asteroids that landed with these little amino acids over time, and as they hit the earth, those amino acids strung together to form a protein. And that's when you go, really? Really? What about the programming? How do you explain 6 billion base pairs of DNA on 46 chromosomes in every cell of your body? And all of those spell you. And then with mutations, we think we've solved sickle cell anemia with gene therapy using an HIV virus and putting new information in it. All we did was teach the stem cells to think rightly. It's awesome. Thinking rightly is everything. So help them to think rightly, biblically, about everything, which means dads, you got to know the word. And then you've got to have conversations with your kids that help frame the world biblically. I love it when my kids come home and say, but dad, they said this, and but dad, they said that. Sweet. Let's dive in, dude. Let's figure this thing out. And by the end, it's like, oh, that's cool. It's like, yeah, it is cool. But we have to be active shepherds. The last thing I want to say, right? Last thing I get to say. Yeah. It's 5 more minutes. I'm on my last point. I feel, and this is an emotional thing. I'm very blue. I feel like I'm always on the wall. I'm always on the wall. You know, where's danger coming from? I just feel like I'm always on the wall, and I need Christ in that, because this gets tiring on the wall. But Jesus cried over Jerusalem because the Pharisees weren't on the wall. They weren't defending their people. They weren't shepherding their people. They weren't thinking, what do our people need to grow and to learn? How do I minister to our people? They were just thinking about money and power and keeping their own comfort. But you have to be on that wall. And living in a broken world, you can't cloister yourself off. You can't isolate yourself and say, well, we're just going to move away from everything hazardous and dangerous. Because you know what? Sin is from within in the human heart and the world and Satan. I mean, we're getting it from all angles. So you're never going to escape the battle. Stop trying to escape the battle. Run headlong into the battle with Jesus, because he's the victor. And if you don't know something, ask, go figure it out. If your kids ask you a hard question and you don't know, ask, go figure it out. That's what I do all the time. I say, I don't know all the time. And then we go figure it out. But we figure it out with a framework of, this is God's word, this is supernatural. And it's also completely logical and rational that the supernatural is explained in the natural that has so much design inherent within it, so much organization, so many feedback mechanisms, so much wisdom in a creation that has these systems that are regulatory. You don't get regulatory systems in a random universe. You just don't. You don't get information in a random universe. We have information and systems and organization that all point to a holy creator in a broken world, and we need him.
I want to thank Dave Gammon for being recorded and being willing to be on the show. Maybe we'll have him in here live sometime.
I think we
should. That'd be great. I think he's already agreed to come in at some point and do good. One of the future. So it's great to have Dave. Thanks for doing that for us. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Family of Faith. This podcast is a production of Family Ministries at Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us at fbchurch.org for more resources, articles, and information about our ministries.